Morning, good afternoon, and good night. You have the home team here. Matt Moriarty, I am your dutiful host. We're coming to you live from the Mile High City, and we have, obviously, two other great hosts as well. We have Chandler Findler.
Hello, everyone. Chandler Findler here with Live Sotheby's International Realty.
And, of course, we have the awesome John Reed.
Hey everybody, thanks for coming back. John Reed with New American Funding.
I had to let you start because I'd like to hear you say I'm awesome one time. Then. Just kidding. So our mission on this podcast is to help you with anything that has to do with home ownership, whether it be buying a home, selling a home, renting a home, insuring a home, getting funding for a home, and anything along those lines. And we've been promising a guest for, gosh, the last five episodes, and we finally have one.
Locked it in.
We would like to welcome Levi Randall from Advanced Exteriors. He is our roofing expert for the day.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. And so, just a little background, Levi. Just tell us a little bit about something, with regards to how you kind of got in the business. Take us back, if you will, back in time, kind of where you're from, kind of, how you got in the business and kind of go from there. Just to give people a background of who you are.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. So I am native to Colorado, born and raised here. I grew up in the construction and trades industry. A while ago, about 10 years ago, I stumbled into the insurance world and became a catastrophe insurance adjuster. I spent 5 years as an adjuster handling claims across the country as well as in the Denver metro area. I adjusted over 5,000 hail claims.
Wow.
In that time. One of the things I noticed was the lack of repeat business in the roofing industry, especially here in Denver in this market. It wasn't very common for, a customer to use the same contracting company that they used previously. So I saw a need there. I also noticed that that claims process can be pretty confusing and daunting to a homeowner.
I'll vouch for that.
Imagine that.
So I felt that my experience as an adjuster would really help offer a solution to those homeowners.
Awesome. Well, thank you for providing solutions. It sounds like you have a really great work experience. So thank you for your time on the show. We're bringing you the experts. But so just a question coming from the real estate field. What is the process if someone thinks that they may have damage to the roof, their roof?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chandler. So my biggest thing that I would want to tell people is that you should try to be prepared ahead of time. Colorado is one of the top states for annual hail storm damage, so the likelihood that you might have a storm is pretty high. It's better to be prepared before that happens than to be scrambling the day of.
That's the truth.
Sometimes hail here can be big enough to break windows, things like that, so you need to have somebody ahead of time in case things like that need to be taken care of.
And obviously talk to your insurance agent, too. I mean, that's the biggest thing right there. You want to make sure in the instance, if something happens, call your insurance agent first. And I think we'll get into that a little bit more as we go along. But that's what they're there for. There's certain areas where you don't want to file a claim and you just want to make sure. I mean, honestly, if someone calls me on the phone, the first thing I do is I have them have an expert like Levi come out and take a look at the roof before they file a claim because – I mean, it does no good to file a claim if that's, if it's not going to go through. So, just the little two cents there.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I just had one quick question. So we hear about this hailstorm and hail season. And so is there a definition to the season, like dates and stuff throughout the country, or when do these come?
So in the Colorado area, storm season typically starts in May and then goes through August, even into September our main time here. Down Texas, Oklahoma, those areas, it's going to start a little bit earlier in April is typically when we're seeing it. And Tornado Alley is what they call it. to add to being prepared, one thing, kind of what you touched on, Matt, with your insurance, I can't stress enough to homeowners to review your insurance policy and to avoid any surprises ahead of storm season. So many insurance companies, as you guys might know, have new policy coverage endorsements, or you might even have a special deductible that's related to hail, wind. Some people make those choices to save on their premiums, but it's good to be aware of what your coverages are before storm season so you can make any adjustments necessary.
Yeah, and that's a fantastic point, because what we're finding in the market, and you know, it's not just in Colorado, it's all over the nation, is that we're finding that, you know, so there's some insurance companies out there that are changing your deductible, especially on wind and hail, especially in areas where wind and hail is prevalent, to a percentage deductible without, I mean, they're kind of, I don't want to say sneaking it, but it's kind of what it is. It's on your offer of renewal, which you get a month before you actually renew, and it changes on there. But most people that I talk to don't even check that. I mean, they just think they have the same deductible as they did before, and then a hailstorm comes through, and all of a sudden they're paying 1%. So that's definitely something you want to check out.
So that most people you speak of, sorry, most people is me sitting right here. I didn't know that there was a different deductible for hail and wind. So your example is right here. But now I know, because I surround myself with the experts and I listen to great informational podcasts, you know, like this one. So
shameless plug.
I didn't even do it on purpose. I am.
Right?
Most of these things we talk about, like, I'm probably the perfect example. You know, some people just have to learn lessons the hard way. But yeah, so that's my thing there.
Yeah. And I think we're catching on, you know, in you know, over the weeks, as listeners, as you've listened to each episode of our podcast, is preparedness. You know, every week we talk about being prepared and expecting the unexpected, and this week's no different, and having Levi here, you know, to confirm that as well. You know, Levi, the question that I had is, you know, roofing gets a bad reputation, and it's usually because of bad individuals. What questions should homeowners or should people be asking, and for, you know, as far as qualifications go, what should you look for in a roofer?
Great question. So especially here in Colorado, due to the volume of storms that we get in the season here, it creates a magnet here for companies to come in from out of state. They may be a national company. They may come here and set up temporary offices and operate just during storm season here. They can portray themselves as maybe being a local contractor, and there's a lot of deceptive tactics there. Also, it creates pop-up companies overnight, companies that start the average, it's kind of sad, the average life expectancy or lifespan of a roofing company in Denver is 2 to 3 years, which is kind of scary. If you had a warranty issue with that company, you want to make sure they're going to be around to handle that for you. So step one, I'd say find somebody who's local. You can check them out on the Secretary of State to see how long they've been in business. Another big thing is make sure you request copies of their liability insurance, and make sure they're licensed to work in the city, town, or jurisdiction that you're in. Another good question is, if you do have a hailstorm, typically hail smaller than a nickel is probably not going to do a whole lot of damage to your home, but it is good to get an inspection even before you have a hailstorm. You can get a good feeling for that contractor. They should look at your property for free. That's pretty typical. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of get a feel for if it's somebody that you want to keep in your back pocket in case you need them.
And I'm going to go one step further. As an insurance agent, I am going to tell you, too, that typically the people that come and knock on your door and give you – I mean, it's always a sales script, right? That, you know, hey, listen, we just did Cindy's roof down the block, right? And most people don't know other neighbors, so they're like, oh, really? Okay. So, and do you mind if we come up and take a look at your roof? And then they go up there for like 3 seconds, and they're like, oh, yeah, you need a new roof. So What I would advise, and what I said previously, is talk to, like, so as an insurance agent, I only work with professionals, right? I want to do what's best for my clients, and I'm almost every insurance agent out there is going to be doing the same thing. So what you want to do is talk to your insurance agent first. Don't go to someone who's just kind of knocking on your door, or at least get a second opinion, because, you know, you never know where those people are coming from.
That's a great point. You know, if you get somebody that knocks on your doors, you know, the population in Colorado, at least here in Denver, is growing so rapidly. We're getting a lot of people from other states, people who they may not have ever even seen hail. And a hailstorm hits and they're bombarded with people knocking on their door. That's a great idea, is to call your agent. Your agent should have somebody that they know and they trust that's local. That's going to give you an honest assessment of your property.
Now, I'm going to ask you something real quick, and I know the answer to this because I better, right? I mean, I didn't know my car the last week, but I do know insurance, so I am the
we
insurance
hope so.
Guy. Anything about insurance? I love insurance. You know, I dream about insurance. It's my passion. Yeah. So anyway, what I'm going to ask you here is with regards to how is hail damage determined on a roof? So when you go up there, what are you looking for specifically?
So first off, a roof system on a house, commercial property, any sort of structure is designed to keep water out of the structure, right? So there's two components. It's waterproofing and it's water shedding. Damage First, when I inspect your property, I need to determine whether it's damage that would be covered by your policy. So things that are wear and tear in nature, those are not covered by a homeowner's policy. It needs to be damage that happened suddenly. And then the damage has to affect the water shedding ability, what the product is designed to do. And then it has to affect the service life of that product. So we'll take an asphalt shingle, for example. If hail is large enough and it impacts that shingle to where it damages the matting on the backside, all of a sudden what that shingle is designed to do, shed water, that's been compromised, as well as the service life of it. So, and then we're looking at if that is damage and it's damage from a covered loss, what is the extent of the damage? Is the damage extensive enough for a full roof replacement? Can it be repaired? And then we would look at the type of coverage you have on your policy and how much your deductible is. You would only want to file a claim if the cost to repair the damage is likely to exceed what the deductible is.
Okay, I'm going to ask you another question real quick about this, and don't mention any names because we don't want any lawsuits coming after us.
Of course.
Insurance companies. But is it true or not true that there are different ways that an insurance company with regards to hail damage will look at it? I mean, are some insurance companies easier to work with and get claims processed versus other ones who are just not going to pay the claim or looking for excuses not to pay the claim?
You know, there's a lot of common opinions out there floating around, and sometimes it's painted that the insurance companies are these big, bad insurance companies not wanting to pay your claim. My personal opinion, especially with my history on the insurance side of the industry, is that that's just not the case. An insurance policy is a contract. Now, a big piece to how your claim is handled does come into play with the contractor that you're using. If they know what they're doing and they know how to document damage and know how to be a good advocate for you, they're able to speak the language of the insurance company. It speeds up the process, and it also just it streamlines everything, and it takes a lot of stress away from the homeowner. So
I like how PC you were, Levi. Common common opinions. I'm going to start inserting that into my everyday language.
Are you also a lawyer?
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm not an attorney.
There are a lot of people out there with common opinions. Yep. Oh, I love it. So PC, great. Thank you very much, Levi. So you mentioned a certain type of shingle. So what are the different kinds of roofs available if I wanted to, you know, make my house look cool or set myself apart? Are there different types of roofs available?
Yeah, there's lots of different types of roofs. It kind of varies region to region, even across the country, across the nation. So you're going to see products that are more prevalent on the East Coast. You're going to see other products that are more prevalent on maybe the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Here in Colorado, we have a mixture. So you're going to see concrete tile. Those are going to be they come in different profiles. So that's the typically it's a flat one here in Colorado. You'll also see ones that kind of have that barrel Spanish tile mm-hmm. look. That can also be confused with clay tile, which has that same look, the barrel look. There's composite products that are out on the market. A lot of those products are new. They're great. They are on the higher price point, but those are probably the most durable and storm-resistant products out there. And then all the way down to asphalt shingles. Also, here you'll still see wood shake shingles that are actually made out of wood. Asphalt shingles are going to come in basically three different levels. You're going to have a higher grade that has sort of what they call a presidential look to it. And then you're going to have an architectural shingle or a three tab is kind of working its way down. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so lots of options for homeowners to choose from a decorative standpoint. And then clearly, you know, ones that would be better for your part of the country. So, yeah, ask your roofer what material is best for you where you live to provide you the, you know, best coverage and value for your bang for your buck. So thanks for explaining those.
You know, Levi, a question that I have and something that I've heard, you know, in talking to other roofers or individuals who are purchasing homes when needing to replace the roof before completing the purchase is impact resistant. What is an impact resistant roof? Is it something that maybe you would recommend, or how would you go about getting more information on that?
Yeah, so when roofing products are put out to the market, when a company comes up with a new product, they're going to test that product in laboratories. It's a UL listing that they give the product. The most common is either a class 3 or a class 4. Class 4 being what you're referring to, mm-hmm. An impact resistant or IR is what it's commonly called. So how they come up with that UL listing, they're going to test the shingle in a laboratory. They drop steel balls on it to mimic hail damage. Or
I need
hail
to get that
impact, checked. Right? And those balls range from 1.25 inches in diameter to 2 inches. So based on how the product handles that, it either gets the UL rating for a class 4 or it doesn't. To follow up with the second part of your question, really whether you put an impact-resistant shingle on your roof or product on your roof is going to vary depending on your situation. Mm-hmm. It is a more expensive product typically. But on the flip side, a lot of insurance carriers might offer a reduction in your premiums if you were to put that type of product on your house. So it could pay itself off in the long run. There's a lot of variables that you'd want to look at there. How long you're going to be in the house, whether you're going to get the return on your investment. Mm-hmm.
So yep. do some of them come to where they will, you know, because I know a big concern when it comes to roofing as well is fire. Is there a specific roof that helps, you know, maybe as a to alleviate the damage from fire or?
Not wood shake. Let me guess. Not wood shake.
Yeah, actually. So in Colorado, we have a lot of issues with wildfires along with, you know, California and other areas of the country. So true, you probably don't want to put a wood shake on your house. A lot of areas actually in Colorado are making it to where that product you can no longer put on if you're going to re-roof or put a new roof on. So, you know, products like concrete tile and things like that, of course, are going to be less likely to burn than wood. So,
cool.
And I know that roofs might not seem like a sexy topic. Let's be honest, right? No offense, Levi, or any other roofer out there in America. God bless you. But roofs might not seem sexy, but it is the right one of the main components of a home, and it gets brought up all the time in every real estate contract because it is one of the most expensive, right? We look at foundations, we look at roofs, so it is an important topic to at least have some sort of knowledge on, even though it might not seem sexy. It's definitely, everyone wants what, right? A roof over our head. So here you go, people. Here's all the information on roofs.
Exactly. And you know, the two things that make it sexy is the fact that security, first and foremost, right? If you have a roof that is, you know, that is protecting your investment, you know, that is something that, you know, that you that is completely awesome. It's protecting your house, like Chandler said. And then the other thing is saving money. Who doesn't like saving money, right? If you get a roof on there, a brand new roof, and it's one that's actually going to help you and last for, you know, 30 years, then I mean, that is obviously something that's gonna be a big, you know, investment for you and actually pay off in the end. And while we're on the subject, let me ask you this: what exactly are the guarantees on the roofs? Because you see a lot of people that they have like 30-year warranties, all that kind of stuff. But if a hailstorm comes through and destroys the roof, that's not part of the warranty, correct?
Yeah, so you're exactly right. First of all, there's a lot of marketing tactics out there that and terminology that's loosely thrown around. A lot of manufacturers call their product a lifetime warranty. Obviously, everything is going to have a service life, and it's not going to last forever. And a lot of outside factors affect that: weather, altitude, our UV. Because we're at a higher altitude here in Colorado, is going to have a big factor on the longevity of the product. Mm. So what you're talking about is a manufacturer warranty. That's a good question when you're determining or finding a roofer. When you have an insurance claim, you have a deductible. At least here in Colorado, by law, you know, the homeowner has to pay that deductible. Let's say it's $1,000. You're going to want to find out what kind of warranty, what kind of product, and all that thing to get the best value, the best bang for your buck for that $1,000. So
when I see an advertisement for free roof, it's going to be free, right, Levi, to me?
No.
No.
Again, there's you have a deductible on your insurance policy. That's why I say it's good to be prepared, know what that deductible is. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have a surprise. It's common now to see 1% deductibles, 2% deductibles, things in that nature, that, like we talked about earlier, for hail or wind. Mm-hmm. That means if your home is insured for, let's say, $350,000, and you have a 1% deductible, you have a $3,500 deductible for hail or wind. So go into, be prepared. Know what your coverages are. If somebody or a company is offering to waive or rebate your deductible, again, which is usually not legal, then, you know, that's a big chunk that they're absorbing somehow. That should maybe raise some red flags.
Right.
You know, another surprise that most people think, and I preach against this all the time too, is what's, you know, and you can explain a little bit more about this, the difference between full replacement cost and actual cash value. There are people out there who, you know, think that, hey, all insurance policies are exactly the same. And then if they have a 10-year-old roof, a 15-year-old roof, a 20-year-old roof, only when, you know, a hailstorm comes through do they find out, you know, in the policy contract it said after 10 years, it's actually actual cash value, which means they have to pay the deductible. And then actual cash value, just so you know, is if you, like, the same thing as if you're buying a car. As soon as you drive it off a lot, it's depreciated value. Now, if it's a 10-year or 15-year-old roof, you know, the insurance company is only going to pay for half of that. So, Levi, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a going back into being prepared, reviewing your insurance policy ahead of time. Actual cash value, as you touched on, means that the carrier, your insurance carrier, is only going to pay the depreciated value of the roof less your deductible, and that's determined based on typically on the age and or condition of the roof. So if you have a typical roof that's, you know, its typical lifespan is maybe 20 years for an asphalt shingle. And it's 18 years old, they're going to only pay you for what an 18-year-old roof is worth on actual cash value. Replacement cost means they're going to pay what that roof would cost to replace today, less your deductible. So there can be a huge difference there, and it can make a big deal as far as your out-of-pocket costs if you're in a position where you need a new roof.
Yeah, and that's a good point, too. But, you know, people are always wondering, what is, right, average lifespan? How do I know my roof is old? How long will it last, right, so that we can plan? So I guess what is the most common roof material out there? Composition shingle?
Yeah, an asphalt.
Or asphalt
shingle. Asphalt shingle, so at least in this region.
In this region. Okay, so the average lifespan of that, barring any crazy storms, normal wear and tear is?
I would put it around 20 years probably for normal wear and tear. It can be a little bit less than that because of our altitude. Like I said, UV play into, you know, that affects, we see it here in Colorado. Paint and everything just doesn't last as long because we're closer. So.
Yeah, closer to that sun. But the good thing about where we live, it's over 300 days of sunshine. Yeah. Anyways, but yes, it does take wear and tear on things. Let's see, what else do we like to know?
I guess another question that I have is, and we may have, you know, touched on this a fair amount, but what is percentage deductible? I mean, can you get into that a little bit?
When you're reviewing your insurance policy, and if you know, this is good questions to ask, like I said, now be prepared. Chandler mentioned, you know, how important a roof is. A roof is a system that's part of your home. You've got your, you know, your electrical system, your plumbing system, your HVAC system. Most homeowners think, oh, I need, you know, they might have a plumber's number for an emergency in case they need one. But they don't think in those terms as a roofer. Sure. So have a roofer that you know and trust ahead of time, but then also talk to your agent. You're going to have a deductible that's either a percentage, like you said, or a flat deductible. A flat deductible could be 500, it could be 1,000, it could be 2,000. A percentage could be anywhere from 0.5% to, I've seen, over 2%. So that figure is going to be a calculation based on the amount that your home is insured for total. You know, if your home's insured for $300,000 and you have a 1% deductible, your deductible is $3,000. So that's how percentage deductibles work.
Okay.
So from what I am taking from this is, because, you know, I'm not the expert in roofing. I'm certainly the expert in real estate, but not roofing, is, you know, make sure that you're dialed down into, you know, what you have and be prepared. So we are, sounds like, entering storm season or in storm season. So now might be a good time to, you know, give your local insurance agent a call, right? That's what I am going to do, just to make sure that I am prepared, as Levi said. So when the time comes, we are good to go. But it's just always good. Again, I'm taking this this advice away too, is to just, you know, maybe yearly, right? We should be looking at our insurance policy, checking it out, maybe having somebody jump up on the roof, because it, you know, it's the whole system, right? Our roofing, our gutters, right? We want to make sure it's working, taking the water away so we don't have leaks and water and ice, you know, sitting in certain areas to prolong, right? We want to make sure we take care of our most expensive systems.
Yep. It's always good to have your roof looked at maybe once a year. There's some maintenance that's involved with the roof that you can kind of get some more longevity out of it and just make sure that the system's performing properly.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you what, Levi knows his stuff, which is the reason we brought him on here. This guy is a smart, smart cookie. And you know what? Let me tell you something. If you can find someone, no matter where you are, all across this great country of ours, if you find someone who has the experience like Levi, who used to be a claims adjuster, knows exactly what each policy is, they could be a huge advocate. And like he mentioned, they can actually get stuff done for you. So don't try and go it alone. Don't try and go with the fly-by-night companies. Use someone who actually has the experience, do some research, and find the right people. And we are out of time, but we so much appreciate it, Levi. You are an amazing guest. If you are in Colorado, Levi, how would people get a hold of you?
I can give my number out, 303-718-7000. 6552. You can also find me on Facebook at Levi on the Roof, or on Instagram. You can message me on Facebook. We can to set up an inspection, appointments, ask me questions, anything like that.
So. And we put Levi's contact information, obviously, on our Instagram. We actually have an Instagram page. We actually have a Facebook page. We actually have a Facebook group. So make sure you go on there and sign up and become a member of our podcast family. We'd love to hear from you. And again, if you have any topics you'd love us to talk about in the future, please reach out to us. We'd love to do it for you. We're doing this for you. And we want to make sure that we are educating you. And so when you go into any of these situations, you will know exactly what's going on because you listen to the Home Team.
The Home Team, here to bring you great, valuable information. So thank you so much, y'all, for tuning in. We really want to deliver value, and we would love to hear from you. So again, this is Chandler Fendler with Liv Sotheby's International Realty.
Yeah, absolutely, everybody. Thank you for tuning in again for another week. Thank you, Levi, for being here and sharing all your knowledge on roofing. Again, this is John Reed with New American Funding, your residential home loan consultant.
And like I talk about all the time, I'm making insurance sexy again. Obviously, Levi is making roofing sexy
sexy.
Let's make it all sexy. Anyways, thank you all so much for joining us. You guys rock, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you.